In our breakout and best-selling book, Looking for Angels, A Guide to Understanding and Connecting with Angels, Dr. Scott Guerin and I share how you can communicate with angels, understand signs from the universe and these celestial beings, feel at peace knowing you are always connected to Source, and much more. Get your copy today at lookingforangelsbook.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. And now you can even get the audio version narrated by me and Scott through Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. I'm your host, Nicole Bigley, and you are listening to a listener series on A Psychic Story. Hi, everyone. If this is your first episode of A Psychic Story, welcome. If you've been here before, welcome back. This is the second listener episode of the podcast where we share the stories you submitted, whether they be by the form on psychicstory.com/story-submission email or the 1-800 number, which is 1-800-880-1881. And we have Dr. Scott Guerin back as well. Hi, Scott. How are you? Are you ready to dive in?
Yeah. Hi, Nicole. Ready to jump in. But before we get into that, just wanted to share a story related to the book. As the listeners know, we're finishing up. We're going into production. And I've been struggling on this one chapter. And it's just a psychological viewpoints of angels and gets into a little bit, not too in depth, but how we perceive reality. And I go through the, you know, that we get inputs from our, you know, five senses, and we have cognitive abilities and memory, this type of thing. But I wasn't really happy with the way it was flowing. And for a couple of weeks now, I was trying to think, like, what is the missing piece? And there's something missing and I don't know. And you sent me an Instagram post of a fellow who just briefly reviews some parapsychology research on random number generators, distance healing, and precognition. And they all speak to about how our minds can impact our physical world around us and even look into the future a little bit. So when I read that, like, a light went off my head, like, this is it, and the missing piece of the puzzle, and I was able to just finish that. It was perfect. So that's a synchronicity that's happened along the lines with this book. That's also happened in other areas as well, but certainly appreciate that.
Yeah, no, you gotta love when that happens. And I am gonna put you on the spot a little bit here. So what were they about? Do you remember?
Well, the research that was briefly discovered or reviewed, and I expanded a little bit more on it on the manuscript, was just how the power of intention can manipulate physical objects. So random number generators are the second generation of physical objects that have been tested over the years. It first started with dice, rolls of dice, and that, you know, they had the participant concentrating on a number to see if that number would come up. And then subsequently, on the electronic side, you have computers that spit out random numbers that are equal chance of yes or no. And then you have people putting out the intention to do a yes, you know, or to do a no. And to see if just by the power of intention can change the mathematical history of how the machine is operating. And on both those studies, over millions of tries, it really is shown to be true that the power of the mind can impact our physical world. The second one was on distance healing, where there's certainly 150 years of prayer studies that have been conducted. And although there's a lot of positive results and outstanding results, there are also some results that don't show much efficacy. But again, it's in the prayer studies, and intention is tough to measure because there's so many confounding variables. You have any doubts in the person giving the intention, the severity of the disease, that type of thing. And even, you know, as some people would say, the will of God. I think we mentioned in a past episode that sometimes perfect healing is not our path. you know. So in any case, that was the second one. And the third one was precognition, where people were tested to see if they could anticipate an image coming up on a card. And it showed some promise, again, mixed results, but still enough positive responses to say, you know, there's something here. There's something about that. And my point in bringing it up, even though it's not directly related to angels, it shows that our minds are capable of things that we're not quite sure how they work. You know, like, yeah, we can say we can impact physical objects, but how does that work? There's no energy identified to do that. So that can kind of leaves the door open to say, this is why someone can be in a room and one person sees an angel or hears the voice and another person doesn't. So it just kind of addresses that area of science that says we're not quite done yet.
Yes. And what was so cool to me about that is the fact, well, all of it, right? But is the power of intention. Because we talk about it so much, and focus, and what does it mean? And the fact that there's actually studies and data and science behind, you know, other people that are a lot smarter than me when it comes to tracking that stuff, that can say, here's what's going on and here's how it's happening, and facing just the surreal and the spiritual. And then you mentioned it's not really tied to angels, but it is. So another tease for the book. Read the book to find out more. But yes, to me, our psychic abilities and our intention are exactly how we connect with our angels and our spirit team. So with that, we have some stories coming up here that we want to share with you. So I think, Scott, you are first up, correct?
Yep. Okay, so the first story we have is from a woman who was greatly missing her mother after she passed away. And while in the process of grieving, her mother's spirit guide visited her, and in doing so, brought along an unexpected visitor. Let's take a listen.
Hi, my name's Deb. I'm from Pennsylvania, and I'm so new to the Psychic Story podcast, but I love it. I'm addicted. So I wanted to share one of my instances with, I don't know if it will be considered an angel. The individual introduced herself to me as my mother's spirit guide. My mother passed away May 1st, 2008, unexpectedly after a fight, after a stay in the hospital for 3 months. She fought and she ultimately lost her life. But she was 57 years old, still young. But I had cried for my mother for years and years, and I asked the guides and I asked God, please let me know that she's okay. I didn't know, you know, I just want to know if she was okay, if she was worried about us, if she was cold. I mean, all these crazy thoughts of just concern for my mother, because I love her so much. I mean, I still do. But 3 years after my mom's passing, I was at her home with my dad, and I was just kind of staying the night over, just keeping an eye on dad after mom passed. And I don't believe I was asleep, because I never felt sleep, but I was standing in my parents' living room, and there was a woman who looked older, but she was a beautiful black woman, with very, very long braids. She was in like a muumuu style, long, draped white cloth. And then there was purple with gold surrounding it around her neck, almost like, I don't know what they call those when the kids graduate, but it was gold, a purple and gold line and purple. And she, like I said, she was beautiful. She looked older, but her features were just so clear, so beautiful. And she was standing there and she says, I'm your mother's spirit guide. She didn't say a name, but she said, I brought her here to visit you for 72 hours. Well, that's where I got to see how time was so different, because it was more like 7.2 seconds. And my mom was kind of just standing there, and she looked how she looked, but she just looked confused to me. Like she just didn't know what was going on, but she didn't look afraid or anything. She just didn't know. But I just grabbed and hugged her, and I could feel her. And that was just so amazing. And I could feel her skin and hug her and kiss her. And that was the most amazing 7 seconds of my life. And I just was so thankful. I just remember throwing so much love over. I mean, just tears were pouring. I was just laying in the front yard, just screaming, thank you so much for this experience. I cried. I called every cousin I could think of, every person that wouldn't think I was like super crazy. But it was an amazing experience, and I'm so thankful that I got to have that, because I really just needed to know my mother was okay, and she was. She just, you know, she was still, it felt like she was adjusting, or she didn't know how I was standing there. I didn't know how she was standing there, but it was an amazing experience.
Okay, so being a sci-fi nerd that I am, there's one thing that screams out to me on this, but I'm curious as to your thoughts on this, Nicole.
Well, I have so many thoughts, right? Well, the first is we were just talking about the power of intentions, and we didn't really tee that up or set it up that way. But the fact is that I think she said for 3 years, right, she had been asking for a sign and or just to know that her mom was okay. So to have that come through, and I'm getting chills as I'm saying this too, in such a big, meaningful way for her was very important. But also the fact that I thought it was interesting that her guide kind of stepped through and did the introduction, and she didn't. Now, of course, she may have mentioned, or she didn't mention it when she left this voicemail. However, she may have had other experiences with her spirit guide, but it seemed in this instant that that was like the first time she had had some sort of interaction. So in my opinion, it seems like her spirit team and or guide came through in a big way to say, hey, you've been asking for this. This is your mom. And also what stood out is that her mom seemed surprised. She seemed surprised. They had this moment. And also, I kind of sort of had to chuckle when she said, that was the first time I realized that time has a wholly different experience than we do, because they said 72 hours. And then she said it was like 7.2 seconds, which was interesting. 72 hours, 7.2 seconds. And if anyone's listened to my story about how I remember coming here to Earth, that was the exact same thing. I was told time is not now, not now that you should be going here. And by the time I turned around, it was time to go. It was instantaneous. And so that really stuck out to me too. But I just think it's amazing that she was able to have that beautiful experience with her mom. And yeah, so from a sci-fi perspective, what stood out to you?
That right there, you know, time. I mean, I love any movie, any show that has something to do with time travel, time, you know, time warps, those types of things. And then the 72 and the 7.2. And it must be hard as a being outside of time, you know, to comprehend and work within it. So that was the one thing that I thought. And then, you know, it was years ago that she passed. And then, you know, 3 years she was asking for to see her. So in one sense, on the other side, it could be instantaneously that all this happened. And then the other thing was that for me, it's the first time I ever heard of a guide bringing, usually it's someone who passed, they come to you, you know, and for me, it's the first time I heard of someone bringing the past loved one to them, you know, as their spirit guide, you know, as a message to the child. So yeah, those two things were really interesting about that one.
What also stood out to me is there was the 3 year mark, right? Because I've heard other mediums, well, I'm not really medium, but I've heard mediums and people that communicate with spirits who have passed over, they'll say, well, don't necessarily come to me if it's been less than a year. And I think I'd covered this on a previous episode because I always wondered why, right? It's not as if we're bound by time that we can't communicate with people who have passed over or souls who have passed over. But I just didn't know if there was like a hard rule or thumb to it. And so I do think that there's what happens is when we have people who've passed over that are close to us, we're in that moment of grief. And so, and that emotion and that energy and that vibration and state. So in some cases, it can be hard for us because we're so deep into that, that we can't necessarily connect. So I do believe that there is something related to time, even though I'm not an expert, you know, related to that as a, you know, ultimately, but that that's probably what happened in this case.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I love this next story because it is a perfect example of receiving a message from a higher power and then taking that message to heart. So we are going to listen in on this one.
Hi, Nicole and Scott. Nicole, I love your show. I listen to it all the time. My name is Beth and I'm from Goldsboro, North Carolina. I have an angel story that I just wanted to share. When I was 31, I was in a relationship with a man who I didn't know very well, kind of a whirlwind relationship. I was a single mom of two boys, and I got pregnant. And I was engaged to this man, and I started to see signs that things weren't very good, that it just wasn't a good thing for us to be together. And there were things that I just didn't know, and it just wasn't very good. But my self-esteem was very low at the time, and I think I just kind of felt like nobody else was ever going to love me. And I was just in a really weird spot. So anyway, we were at a concert one night. It was the Eagles concert. It was great. And I was standing by myself, and this breeze was blowing, and I was watching him and just thinking, I know that this isn't very good, but I just didn't know what to do. And I kind of didn't feel like I had any way out. I just sort of felt like this was what was my destiny. And I was standing there, and I was by myself, and the wind just blew, and all of a sudden I felt a peace come over me. And I heard a voice that was very distinct and very calm and very firm. It was not my internal voice. And it said, you don't have to marry him. And I, in my head, said, I don't. And really, honestly, I know it sounds silly, but I had not even entertained that I did not have to marry this man. I just had that voice in my head before that was kind of that critical older voice that said, you made your bed. You made your bed. I mean, you just got to go through with marrying this person, and you'll make the best of it, and it'll be okay, and all this other stuff. And so I heard the voice that was so calm and just said, you don't have to marry him. And I said, I don't. And the voice very distinctly again said, no, you do not have to marry him. And at that point, I felt more calm than I felt probably in my entire life. And the decision was made. There wasn't even, I don't know, after that, there was no thoughts of going back. And it just was like, it settled. It was like I was given permission to not have to go through with this thing that would have been very detrimental for me and for my kids. And I knew that no matter what it took and no matter what I had to do, that I was being released from this. And so at the time, I didn't know if it was God or if it was angels or whatever, but it was not from me. And it was profound, and it changed my life. And I did not marry him. And he was involved with my son, and he is grown up now, and everything's good. But it was just a turning point in my life. And it also helped me to listen more closely and see more signs, which I do all the time now. It's increased more. But I've really never had that voice again. So I felt like it was very urgent. You know, it was calm and firm, but it was urgent. It was like, it's okay. You don't have to do this. And I was very grateful.
Well, a couple things stood out to me in that story, but I'd love to hear your thoughts first.
Yeah, the one thing, and we spoke about this a few times over the weeks, is the Claire. You know, the clear.
Mm-hmm. Which it was your first time learning about this, the clears and the clairs.
Yes. So, you know, clairvoyance, clairaudience, how do you know that the voice is from you outside of yourself, you know, God, you know, spirit guides or angels? And because the thing is that, you know, some traditional psychologists would say, oh, well, that's just a deep-seated wish that, you know, kind of came out in a time of stress. You know, but, you know, not necessarily. And then the way she described it, that it was clear, you know, she knew that it came from outside of herself and gave her that guidance. So that was the one thing that I thought this was a good example of, trusting the intuition and the inputs that you get from spirit.
Mm-hmm. There's only been a few times, I'm sure people were a little bit probably surprised in hearing this, where I've had an experience like this where it's been so massive. And when I say massive, it's exactly as she described. It's clear, it's succinct, it's part of you, it's not part of you. It really is an exclamation point when there's a message. The best way I could also describe it is it's almost as if our spirit team or God speaks in bullet points, right? It's not this long-winded way of getting around to what the message is. It's just like, this is what you need to know, when you need to know it, and the why behind it, right? And so the fact that she experienced that, and exactly what you said, our voice, when I've had these messages kind of show up, it hasn't been where I've been able to really distinguish that it's my own voice. It sounds familiar, yet at the same time, it doesn't. It's almost as if I just know I'm tapped in. And I think that's also Spirit's way or God's way of allowing us to not only feel comfortable with the message that's coming through, but really to truly pay attention to it. So I think there's that. And also that she, you know, the other thing is, you mentioned the psychology part of it and everything else. She was surprised, right? It's not that she wasn't thinking about it. It's just that it kind of seemed to sort of come out of nowhere and in a way that was so meaningful and impactful to her, where it's like, you can't really make that part up, right? That it's just, again, jolting in a good way to get that impact. So that also kind of stood out to me.
The topic of trust comes up in our episode with Anna Gannon called Trust, and how she just had a point in her life where she just said, screw it, I'm just going to go with it, and how that changed her life.
Yeah. And honestly, I wish I kind of, not that I want to have experiences where I'm going to have such impactful messages that come through that I need to in direction, right? But I do honestly want more of that. And I think that for anyone who's experienced that, this person included, is to, when you have that, not only recognize how important that is to you at that time, but to give permission to have you continue to have those experiences as well. If I had known or somebody had taught me to say that as those happened, I think that I would be probably having a lot more of them than I am today. So just something else to say. All right.
Oh, and in addition, our study of angel encounters. So we did a study, 800 participants, 600 believed in angels. And of those 600, 36% said they had an angel encounter, and there were multiple encounters reported. So out of those 200 and some, there was almost 700 encounters. And the third most popular encounter was the message to stop, to go in another direction, to stop what you're doing, to change. And so this fits clearly in that category and is very common.
Exactly. All right. Well, you have the next one.
Yep. So this is a discussion between a friend of mine, Larry, California. I've known Larry for over 65 years, and it's over 65 because our mothers were friends when they were pregnant with us, right? So
You were birthed together, essentially.
Yes. So any case, he's an educated engineer. He's been a lead engineer on multi-million-dollar projects and recently retired as well, and a pretty good golfer from what he tells me. And he had an experience that was surreal. It was physical, and it was verified by his friends. So let's take a listen to this.
So I was on a 1-week-long mountain bike trip in Colorado, and it was like day 3 or 4 of our trip, and I was with two friends of mine. And we got to a stopping point, and then we picked up on it, on the pace, and we're all riding together. And then my mom, who passed away about a decade earlier, she loved aspen trees because she's Scandinavian and loved the way the trees turn color and the white bark and the birch trees and the aspen trees. And I found myself in this forest of aspen trees and riding on this gravel road in the isolated area in Colorado. And all of a sudden, I just felt myself like I wasn't pedaling. I was just moving. And I just was taking in the beauty of the aspen trees and the beauty. I almost felt like I was in heaven. And then I felt the presence of my mother. First time I had felt that close of presence since she had passed away. And then the odd thing is, I finally get to a stopping point, a little turnout, and I pulled over to wait for my friends, and I waited for a half an hour. And when they finally caught up to me, they go, Larry, where did you go? And I said, you know, guys, I have no idea. I felt like I wasn't even pedaling. I felt like my mother was just pushing my bike along through this beautiful forest. And they were like, wow, because all of a sudden you were there and then you weren't there. And then It was amazing. A half hour had passed by. It felt like 2 minutes.
Well, so I have some questions first. So he's an engineer. Now, had he had, or do you know of any other experiences that he had before now? Or was that one where that really opened up his eyes to more of that spiritual, or as I would call it, supernatural?
Yeah, he's aware and open to spiritual interventions, in a sense, through messages. Actually, his stepdaughter, when her father died, just when he was on his last, you know, few hours, her father said, "We need to set something up so you know I can communicate with you." And she said, "What should it be?" And he said, "Let's do 3 threes." And he has probably a dozen incidences where there's been 3 threes appearing in his life and his stepdaughter's life. But so he's open to spirituality in general. But this is certainly a dramatic physical movement of something, you know, and that was struck out to me. And that it at times, now, it wasn't a time in need where he was in a burning building or something like that, a, you know, intense need, but it was just a time that happened. He was opened, and I guess his mother was ready to show him his support through being there. And then this movement of the bicycle down the road a half a mile or a half an hour ahead of his friends was something that is very unusual.
Yeah, it's very surreal. And there's only been one experience where I've had where, like, kind of time has escaped me. I'm not going to get into really the details here because it would take a long time. But ultimately, I just remember at one point feeling and knowing, wow, time stopped, like literally stopped at that moment. And I then consciously realized how that time had stopped. But I've never really heard a lot about the fact that it happens with people when we're in the physical, right? You heard about the woman who we just talked about that was quote unquote asleep or not, and she had that experience, all of that. But this is truly, like you said, this physical experience. Is there a lot of science behind it, or what would you call that?
No, there's no science behind this. I can guarantee.
It's like time warps here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you really get into the weeds with, you know, the quantum theories and things being able to exist in two places at once and electrons being able to interact with other electrons in far great distances, I mean, things like that, but nothing certainly like this.
Well, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Well, and good for him. You know, Scott, because you met my mom for the first time a couple weeks ago, and she told me when I asked, what is our sign? And she said she was going to hide stuff for me, which is not very nice.
Yes, we were talking about that. Car keys comes to mind.
Yeah. Well, and it was just her birthday, too. And we were having dinner with my dad, well, the three of us. And I said, yeah, Dad, Mom said when she passes over, she's going to hide things. And he's like, what do you mean? Anyway, so I love your friend's story a lot better than what my mom said that she would do to me when she's here. All right. So everybody knows how much I love a good Archangel Michael story. And this one does not disappoint us at all. So let's take a listen here.
Hi, my name is Gwenifar. I am currently living in California. I have a story about Archangel Michael. I have an easier time talking than emailing, so I'm leaving it here. When I was in my early 20s, Archangel Michael came to me and presented himself to me. I was painting this bungalow in Utah for this woman, and I was up on a rickety old ladder, and the ladder was really questionable, and I was really freaked out. I'm really afraid of heights. And so while I was up there, I just started praying, like, Archangel Michael, please protect me from falling off this ladder. Please protect me while I finish this bungalow. And as I was seeing it and thinking it, I felt this calm. I felt this energy of love and surety, and I finished the bungalow, and I was fine. But I was thinking, where did that come from? I grew up in a very Mormon household, and Archangel Michael was not a part of my upbringing in any way. I denied the Mormon religion at a very young age, so I always was a believer of the fairies, the angels, the beings around me, but Archangel Michael and the archangels were definitely not a part of that religion at all. So as I be in my mind, and I would just say to myself, Archangel Michael, Archangel Michael. And one, fast forward some years, I'm living in New Mexico, and some of us decided to go to Taos, New Mexico to go to some kind of a show or a concert or something, festival. And we all ended up staying in this house. This house was an interesting place. There was no furniture. There was nothing in it at all. And there was about seven of us, I think, staying in there that night. And the only thing that was in this house was a picture of Archangel Michael in the kitchen. And I remember thinking, wow, you know, look at this. I don't think it registered with anyone else. I don't think anyone else got it or cared. But in my mind, I was excited. Here he is. He's showing himself to me. Here's this picture. The house was really interesting as well. I think some of us were a little freaked out to stay in this house. And so maybe that's why he was presenting himself. This house had this room where only one wall in one of the rooms was just all outlet. And I don't know what this house was used for, but it was definitely a quandary. So that was when Archangel Michael really presented himself in a, like, obvious for the picture of me. So I started to read about him and learn a little bit more about him. And he was starting to build, I guess, more of a relationship with him at that time. And then it really solidified when, I think it was maybe a year later, maybe a year or two later after seeing the picture in the house, I was moving to Hawaii. I was going to go and help a family with their birth and prenatal and postpartum. And I know I needed to go there. It was important. It was important work. And so I had this car that I did not get registered again. I was going to sell it. And it also was not insured. And I think I had a week before I was supposed to leave to go to Kauai. So I'm driving one night, and it's a rainy night, and I must have been speeding, and I get pulled over. I'm thinking, oh no, I don't know what's going to happen from this, but this probably means I'm not going to make it to Hawaii. I'm going to miss the birth, and it's going to change everything. And so I just started praying. Archangel Michael, I need you to get me out of this. I need you to help me. I need you to work your magic. Please get me out of this. And I sat and I waited. And a little bit later, the officer behind me just turned around and went the other direction with his lights on. Probably because something more important was going on than pulling me over and got a call. But it just really proved to me that Archangel Michael has my back. He is my guiding protector. And so that was when I really started to tune in and tap into him, learn about him. I've always lived on the edge of societal rules and conditioning and all of that. I see it. I respect it. I don't necessarily live by all of that. But at this point in my life, I have a very developed relationship with Archangel Michael. And I say him because I see it as a male protector. I see him as, he's got my back. He's got this sword that can help me cut cords and this presence that can protect me. And I literally see this in my mind's eye. I see this brilliant light. Like, he's this big, beautiful form of light that I literally don't even know how to explain in human words or language, but it's almost like neon, like colors I've never seen before and can't explain. And I pray to him a lot when I'm driving and there's bad weather, when I feel threatened energetically, and I'll just, you know, say a prayer. Archangel Michael, wrap your wings of light around me, protect me from, like, if I'm driving, protect me from all eyes of the authority, protect me from all harm and danger, remove obstacles from my path. And I always feel immediate sense of relief and gratitude and love. When I think of Archangel Michael, I can't even express it. It's so big. It's just this knowing that he is listening. He's there. He is around me. He wants to show up for me. He presented himself to me. He's on my team. And it's just a really over joyous feeling, and bright and full of love and just excitement when I think about him. I see him as being this powerful guiding protector for all of us. Every single person on this planet can be protected and reached by Archangel Michael, and how amazing that is. So that's my Archangel Michael story.
So what did you think about that story, Scott?
Well, you know, it's just amazing how clearly she identified as Archangel Michael, you know, in those instances and identified with him and, you know, got that confirmation. So, you know, it's again that thing where you ask and you have a specific ask and the spirit comes through. Maybe not all the time, you know, that's the thing. Maybe not all the time, but it's certainly great to hear that and know that this can happen.
Mm-hmm. And for me, at least, and again, people who listen know I'm very close with Michael, but is that the reason I love working with him so much is it's such a strong energy, right? Some of the other archangels, angels have a more subtle energy when it comes to them showing up and working with us, but he's definitely present. He shows up in such a way that we're like, you can't really ignore that. And so, again, I thought that that was beautiful, the way she shared her experiences with him, and just wanted to obviously, you know, put that to the top of the list for us to share that with the listeners, as if you have not heard enough about Michael. So anyway.
No, that's good. That's a great story. Okay, so we hear about loved ones, you know, sending us signs and symbols, you know, a bird will come or, you know, butterfly in general. But this story goes way beyond that.
Coins are another one, feathers, yeah.
This story goes beyond that to something so specific that you can't rule out coincidence in my mind.
Great, well, let's take a listen.
Hi, this is Gabby, and I am from Illinois, just calling to share my story. So a couple years ago, kind of having like a literal dark night of the soul, and I just kind of reached out to God and said, God, I don't know what's going on, but I need you to help me. I can't do this alone. And I just all of a sudden had what I now know is a download, and I just heard, your voice needs to be heard. So I had an idea of what it was about. I actually had kind of had a rough relationship with my brother for the past few years, and I felt like I needed to reach out to him, and I needed to just say, like, I'm sorry, and let's work through this. Life is too short to be upset. And I thought to myself, you know what? And he lived out of state, and I said, I'm not going to call him. I'm just going to wait until the next time he's home so I can say this to him in person. Just how much more meaningful would it be in person? So about a month later, I had this random thought during the day. I remember it was a Tuesday, and I thought to myself, I need to get a nice bookmark. I read a lot, and I just use random things to mark my page, like Post-it or a receipt or a gum wrapper. And I just thought, I'm going to get a really beautiful bookmark, something that just inspires me, something that's pretty to look at. A couple hours later, I found out that my brother had passed from this earth. And obviously, my family was completely distraught. I was at my parents' house, just kind of wandering around. I mean, this was about 2 hours after we got the news that he was gone, very unexpectedly. It was just very tragic, very hard. I'm walking around their house, and I'm just thinking, like, man, what in the world? This is so hard. What are we going to do? And I was walking around in their computer room, and I happened to just, like, look up at the printer. And I saw that the printer said brother. Now, I didn't know that there was any sort of like printer or electronic equipment that was named brother. I guess this is a brand or something. And I looked up and I saw that word brother. And I just thought, yeah, I get it. Not only was he my brother, but he was also a Catholic monk. And so they go by brother and then a name. I saw that word brother, and it just hit me. And I was like, I get it. I get it. I see that sign. I see that. Then I looked down at the ground and I saw a bank envelope, and I'm like, well, I'll just throw this in the garbage. And I thought, well, I better check if there's no money inside. So I opened the envelope, and there was a bookmark in there. It was a bookmark from the monastery that my brother belonged to. And so on that bookmark was a picture of him. And I cannot tell you the feeling that came over me, this tingly goosebump, being wrapped in love and awe and just the most amazing, beautiful feeling. So many amazing things have happened like that since then, but that is the one where it was like, I know that my angels and God was, they were all working to just show me that I'm supported. They're there. It's all in God's hands, and the angels are forever and ever there to provide support and comfort and love. So that is my beautiful angel story. Thank you so much for your podcast. It has been absolutely amazing. And honestly, I'm always checking, like, do they come out with a new episode? So just thank you for your work. Amazing. Bye.
Well, as we were listening to that, I heard as soon as she said meaningful or whatever that was, this huge noise that it kind of made me look away and pay attention, because I feel like that was Spirit's way of getting us to pay attention a little bit more. But personally, I thought that that was just so amazing because, again, like you said, there's ways that Spirit tries to get our attention or even our angel team and everything else. And the fact that she got that message intuitively about a bookmark, that was something that she was intentionally looking for and trying to just find. And then, unfortunately, with the passing of her brother, experiencing this, and then it was so personalized, right? That he, both religious, spiritual, energetically, all of it was wrapped up into this, and that it stood out. And some people would probably say, oh, that's just a coincidence. Oh, you were looking for one, you found it, what have you. But the meaning behind it, the energy behind it and everything else, I don't think that you can really dismiss it at all.
Yeah, certainly, you know, beyond coincidence type of thing. And the other thing came to mind was that in Esther Hicks, in the teachings of Abraham, if those of you are familiar with Law of Attraction, and there's tons of resources on that. But one thing they have said time and time again is that we navigate through this world through our feelings. You know, and that, in a sense, don't discount your feelings, because that is how we choose, how we make decisions, how we validate what is correct and what is the right way to go. And for her, you know, she certainly had a need. And then when this coincidence happened, she said she got the tingly feeling.
It's not even a coincidence. Yeah, I don't believe in coincidences. Yes.
Yeah. So when this happened, she got the feeling and not only was the feeling that it was her brother, but that it was a positive thing. It was almost like a reconciliation after he had passed that she wanted so badly. So yeah, so those are the things that struck out to me on this.
And I also, it was just so healing, because she even said at the top part of this, you know, sharing her story or experience, is that she wanted to have an in-person conversation with her brother and not to just call him. And the fact that they didn't get that opportunity, instead of her focusing on the fact, oh, I didn't have, you know, I should have called him, right? We should have had that conversation. We didn't have that opportunity to have it in person. He was, in my opinion, showing up to say, I heard you. And also maybe she got that message because it had already happened, you know? So we don't know fully based on what she shared here, but I thought that that was really powerful.
Yeah, it was the closure that she needed. You know, I mean, otherwise she would have gone the rest of her life with this, you know, open-ended issue in her life. And he provided that for her.
And healing in such a healing, powerful way. Okay, well, we each have a story here that we're going to read that was submitted to us by listeners. And I'm going to take the first one here. This is from Andrea Kay. So I'm going to read it here verbatim. Hi, I listened to your listener stories episode and was inspired to share one of my own angel stories. I've always felt my intuition, but never had an awakening or had ever worked to strengthen my intuitive gifts. But in June of 2021, that all changed. It was a sunny summer day and my three kids were playing in the backyard. My youngest, who was 3 years old at the time, had decided to climb onto our patio table. She fell back onto the concrete patio and hit her head. We immediately suspected a concussion, so we took her to urgent care, which led to a trip to the ER. After a CT scan, it was determined that she had had a brain hematoma and a small skull fracture. She was admitted into the ICU so they could keep a close eye on her for a few days and could decide after some time if surgery would be necessary. As a mother, this was heart-wrenching and, of course, spun me into unimaginable worry and fear. So I began to pray. And after several hours, when we were all settled in the ICU, I would pray even more. Just lie next to my daughter, eyes closed, and pray. During one of these times, I felt very relaxed and a sense of peace came over me. I then had a vision in my third eye that I was not lying next to her in her bed, but was now sitting in a chair away from the bed, just watching her. From the right corner of the room, a bright light started to pour in towards her bed. And suddenly I could feel angels and see them again, all in my third eye. They were huge and I could feel their presence, their strength, their love. I could feel their thick white wings and just knew that these were archangels. They surrounded her bed and stayed for what felt like several minutes. They didn't speak, but they were just there to comfort, heal, and bring peace. After this, they came in several more times over the next week or so. Even after we were home, they would appear in her room, around her little toddler bed. She didn't end up needing surgery and made a full recovery. I didn't tell anyone this, not even my husband, about the angel experience for several months. I just kept it to myself. But when I did start to share, I would always be brought to tears. It was just such a powerful, overwhelming experience to feel their presence and strength that I even get emotional talking about it now. Pure love. They say that spiritual awakenings can sometimes happen in difficult situations such as this, and that's definitely the case with me. They came to bring healing to my daughter and also to start me on my spiritual journey of finding my gifts. Thank you for taking the time to listen to my angel story, and thank you for all you do to support those of us on our own spiritual journeys by providing an amazing community with your podcast. Heart, heart, heart. That's what she has. So what do you think about that, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I keep going back to in many of these stories is the going through hard times, you know, and specifically the dark night of the soul, which is, you know, kind of a prolonged time of depression. Some psychologists or psychiatrists would treat it, you know, but at the same time, you know, you have to be careful, certainly to the extent of it. But it's during times of low times and times of depression and kind of sadness is when our walls come down. All the things that we bolster up to keep ourselves going and stories we tell ourselves that everything's going to be okay, or, you know, that person really didn't mean it, whatever. All those come down, and then you are open to receiving information and support from other areas. So that was the one thing. And it's too bad we have to learn that way. But I think as humans, we have a natural tendency, and certainly in our society, you know, we have many ways to go and forget about what's really going on in our hearts and minds, you know, with, you know, TV and cell phones and social media and all that stuff, and drugs and alcohol as well. But if we stick through those times and quiet our minds and quiet and listen, that's when we can have very profound experiences in our lives.
Yes. And what stood out to me in particular, too, is that she was really praying very heavily, right? And you mentioned, because this, in my opinion, wasn't necessarily a dark night of the soul as much as it was, and I'm not saying that that's what you said here, but it was a time of trauma where she is a mother, where she was really wanting, you know, guidance, support, protection, healing, all of it. And as she's praying and she sat there, it was, you know, her also comfort, or her, I should say, her guides and angels' way of comforting her to let her know that they were there and that everything was going to be okay and that this was coming in. And I can't underscore this enough. When people submit stories and they tell their stories, it's so powerful for each person that they go through it. When we read these, when we share these, you know, it's great. It's amazing to hear it. But also there's a part of the energy and the emotion and everything else about the experience that doesn't necessarily be brought to life. So I think that this was also just showing her, not only was it that happened with her daughter, happened with herself and the fact that she went through all of this, but that it was opening her up to change and to what's possible. And she even said to, you know, continue through her spiritual journey in a bigger, again, more meaningful, impactful way. So.
Yeah. And the other thing that she mentioned, she could feel the angels and see them all in my third eye. And it goes back to me, you know, and a lot of people try to figure out, like, how does the mind process that? How did that actually happen? And then it kind of speaks to the parapsychology studies that we reviewed earlier on, there's a lot that our minds are capable of that we just don't understand. And that doesn't say that it's not real, you know, until we can understand and define it and it's in a book somewhere. No, you know, these things happen, they're real, and they're life-changing.
Exactly. All right. I think you have the last one, yes?
Yes. So this is our last listener story for this episode, and it comes to us from Debbie H. In 2004, I was getting ready to get a divorce after 16 tough years of marriage, and I was about ready to file. We had two children, and I had enough of verbal abuse and was seeking Bible study classes to learn more about myself and gain the confidence I needed to start a new life. I was heavy into prayer at the time and had ongoing conversations with God. I felt very close to God, and I knew that He would help me survive a divorce. I was a runner at the time and also an elementary school teacher. Each and every morning, I would rise to jog 5 miles to have some time alone with God, and we chatted on our morning routine. Or at least I was the one talking. This is someone, you know, just to intersect here that, you know, there's so many times where it's all one-sided, you know. And again, to the listening and to the being, you know, quiet and getting back information.
Yeah, we talk to ourselves or we're talking to our angels or guides, our spirit team, and then God. Yeah, which is so fun. And also, side note really quickly, I found out that not everybody has that internal dialogue. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
We apparently there's parts of us or I should say some of us who actually can internalize and have that narrative and conversation and others don't. I, for one, do. So I think it's amazing that she could do this.
Yeah. There was a meme I saw years ago, and this person's praying and God is speaking from the clouds. And he says, you know, I'd like to help you if I could get a word in edgewise.
Sounds about right. All right, we'll continue.
Okay, back to the story. I always had signs that he was listening, and I always felt connected to the source. One morning, I was irritated at the events of the night before with my husband, so I went off saying, you know, God, this man I'm married to has done this, and he's done that, and I continued to list the entire 16 years of things I felt he had done wrong to me. And the list was long.
It only took her one run for this, 16 years?
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, all right.
I got down the road a while, probably 2 miles into my run, and all of a sudden God started showing me images of all the things I had done wrong in my life. Oh, yes, this was not exactly what I wanted to see at 6 a.m. in the morning, but my life began to flash in front of me, showing me all of my wrongdoings. And I began to weep and ask for forgiveness as I knew God would forgive me. I was about a mile away from home, and I saw a gentleman walking towards me. Usually, when someone walks in front of me, I would cross the road on the other side. As a runner, you need to be careful about your surroundings and use your instincts. But this morning, my instinct said, keep running on the same side of the road. As he approached me, he turned around and said, oh my goodness, can I run with you? I've been sick, and this is the first morning I got up to go outside, and you've been inspiring me to run. May I run alongside with you? I replied, sure, come along. I run every morning in the same route, but I have never seen you. And he shook his head up and down and was jogging my pace right beside me like he had always been a runner. I felt very comfortable with him, and we chatted about the weather for the day. We had a very short time together, and when I came to his corner, he remarked, I need to turn here. Thank you for letting me jog with you for just a short ways. You really made my morning. I hope to see you again, I replied as I kept running towards home. Then he turned to me and quietly said, oh, one more thing. God wants you to try forgiveness. In shock, I questioned, what did you say? And this man, this angel, replied, God wants you to try for forgiveness, just like God has forgiven you. I kept running, and I never turned around because I knew this gentleman, who was an angel, with a very powerful message, could not have been there. I just kept jogging. How did he know about the conversation I had just had with God? I never saw this gentleman again. It was a message I needed to hear for me to move on into my life after divorce. I needed to forgive and move on. I've never forgotten the special angel with this message that I needed to hear. Forgive. I no longer hold onto grudges. I got that divorce and am happily married now. My ex-husband and I are now friends, and that couldn't have happened without this powerful message of forgiveness. Yes, I believe in angels, and I still talk to God every day. I hope someone who needed to hear this story is inspired to forgive too. What a great message, isn't that?
Many, many great messages. And I think this is just one of many examples, right, about how our angels and or God shows up in such ways that impact us and kind of get our attention. Now, one could argue, as I was listening to that story, oh, maybe she had a conversation with him and she was venting during her run and she just didn't think that she shared. But I would imagine that during that walk or that run that she probably would have mentioned it, you know, that she had brought it up. But it was still weighing heavily on her. Maybe he picked up on it and he just intuitively, again, this is where I think angels on earth happen. Or maybe it was truly an angel that that just appeared and came at a time of need where it was allowing her to, I don't want to say pivot, but just to heal in that moment and then eventually stay course and on track with where she needed to go in her life. I mean, there's so many ways that you could kind of slice and dice this and think about it. But the fact is, and you said this before in the episode or the discussion is, you know, it's really what we feel and where we're feeling guided and also what kind of stands out to us. And that's what makes us, you know, at least on our spiritual journey, stay that course and have support and direction.
Yeah. And the other thing about forgiveness is that it can snowball, you know, over the years. I know firsthand it can do that, you know, and you just build up and build up. And then you may say something, the other person may say something, and then you may do something, and they may do something, and it just builds and builds. And it's almost, there's like, how can this ever change? You know, because neither one of the, you know, either one of the parties are going to say like, all right, that's it. But if you are the first person to say, you know what, I'm going to send out an olive branch, I'm going to say, I'm sorry, and I'm going to forgive them, that's the way the tension can be broken. And sometimes, and that didn't happen in this episode or in this story, but sometimes being the person to forgive and be the first to reach out can change the course of a relationship forever.
Well, and it's also that was, again, a powerful moment that she just realized and decided, however that information came to her, to change her perspective and her perception on something that shifted everything else, just like what you said. And who knows what would have happened had she done the opposite. And so even if she hadn't, you know, because we don't know what happened afterwards, what she said, how she went about it, what all that entailed, but it was the, you know, the foundational aspect or element of the build for the rest of it, which is just so amazing. And again, I think that we feel oftentimes or expect oftentimes that spirit, angels, God are going to show up in certain ways, coins, feathers, repeating numbers. And I'm not discounting any of that. But when people and or real life angels come to us in these types of ways, we should definitely be paying attention, right?
Right.
You just never know.
And
you never know.
Here is a man, you know, a regular man, no wings, no flying in, no orbs, no bright lights, just a man jogging. And then at the very end, just slips that question in.
Yeah. I've had some, you know, side note here. Well, I guess it's really not a side note, sort of related to this, but people have just come up to me and looked straight at me and said, "You're an angel. I see you." Like, what? That's a little creepy. But, and again, not towards me, but it's that we should be kind of almost, the point of me sharing that is to keep an open mind and to be looking at the people in our lives about energetically, what other kind of purpose do they serve and share with us, right? And what might that look like? I'm not saying that to be, I'm this powerful person right here, right now on earth. It's just more about people recognize things in certain people because there's a meaning to it or they need something, right? So for whatever reason, she needed to hear that, whether that again was from a person or an actual angel or what have you, he showed up in her life at that right moment in the time that was needed. So I think it's just super cool.
Yeah, no one's ever said that to me.
Well, one day, Scott.
I'm hopeful.
Maybe after this book, they will say that you need to change your title from Dr. Scott Guerin to Angel on Earth. All right. Well, thanks again, everyone, for listening to our second listener episode of A Psychic Story. And just a friendly reminder again that you can submit any story now that doesn't have to be angel stories. That could be spiritual awakenings, any other sort of supernatural story you want to share. We would love to hear all of them, but you can do so on apsychicstory.com/story-submission. You can also email contact@apsychicstory.com or submit a voicemail at 1-800-880-1881. And Scott, I'm sure I'm going to be talking to you again here soon, but wanted to just say thanks again for being on.
Well, thank you. And thank you to all the listeners sharing your lives and your stories with us and for everyone else to really move us along our spiritual journey.
Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode and join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. All episodes are free on your favorite podcast player or at apsychicstory.com. Have a question? Is there a topic you'd like to hear more about? Or have a suggestion for a future guest? Send an email to contact@apsychicstory.com or leave a voicemail message at 1-800-880-1881. We'd love to hear from you, and you may even be featured on a future episode. If you're interested in booking a session with me, you can do that directly on the website. And if you want to hear even more content hosted by yours truly, check out my other show, Supernatural Matters. Reminder that you are automatically entered to win either a free 20-minute intuitive or energy healing session with me if you leave 5 stars along with a positive review. Currently, reviews can be left on Apple, Stitcher, Podchaser, or CastBox podcast players. Don't forget to email contact@apsychicstory.com when you do, because it allows me to get in touch with you if your name is pulled in the drawing. Your name stays in until you win.